a gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden, they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope and Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to this episode of Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry. We are continuing this segment we call A Day in the Life. And today, setting our sights on Utah's 3rd Congressional District and welcoming back to the program Utah Congressman John Curtis. Congressman, how are you?
I'm terrific. How are you, Lee?
I'm well, thank you. Listen, last night you were here in the KSL building debating your opponent. A number of issues were covered. Were you pleased with your performance?
Of course. I enjoy talking about issues, enjoy a good debate, and had a good experience last night.
What were the big takeaways? What were the items that you hope that viewers and listeners most are left with?
Well, I've been really fortunate to have served for 3 years in the 3rd Congressional District, and I'm comfortable with what we've done in those 3 years, and my mission was to make sure I had that opportunity to explain what we've done and what we hope to do.
Now, you set an example of sorts. There was a debate in which participants were the President of the United States and his challenger, former Vice President Joe Biden, a few weeks ago. They set a certain tone. Yours was a bit different. You allowed each other to speak, which was interesting in the debate setting these days.
Yeah, and, you know, we had differences, but I think we and moderator did a great job. I think those differences had an opportunity to unfold, and hopefully listeners could understand where the two of us were coming from.
Absolutely. And if you missed last night's debate, I'd invite anyone listening right now to go back. You can view it on the KSL News Radio website. We streamed it there live. Also, the Utah Debate Commission has access to it. I am always an advocate of source material. If you want to know how a candidate feels, what their positions are, look at what they have said, look at what they have written, look at what they have done. And I believe that these debates have great value. And so if you missed it, go back and view it. Now, listen, Congressman Curtis, you have run for office a few times in the past. And besides the obvious limitations on our abilities to meet in person, what have been some of the uniquenesses of this election cycle in the midst of the COVID era?
Well, I've just really enjoyed working in the district. For instance, just came home yesterday from a trip down to the south part of the district where we met in every single county down south, all the way down to Four Corners and the Navajo Reservation. And to be honest, this COVID period has been our busiest time since I've been in Congress.
You mentioned geographically the travels you have to go through. Utah's 3rd District is geographically massive. It includes much of Utah County east of Utah Lake and ventures south, including cities along Route 6 like Helper and Price, and then plunges south all the way to Blanding and down to the southern border of the state. Where have you been spending most of your time as you've campaigned?
You know, I would have to say we tried to equally distribute it, but to be honest, we like to put a disproportionate amount of time into rural because that's where some of the toughest issues are and where they need our help the most.
Yeah. As an incumbent, you must balance your goal of retaining your seat in Congress with fulfilling your ongoing duty as a sitting member of Congress, as opposed to a challenger who's able to, you know, focus wholeheartedly on the campaign. Does one get a priority over the other, or how are you able to balance appropriately the two interests, which honestly must compete for your time and energy?
This is easy for me, Lee. I feel like the best campaigning I can do is work hard in my district for the district. So, for instance, this week where we've been down south, we really haven't talked about the campaign, but we've talked about the issues that were important to them. And I really think that's what people want to see me do. Head down, working hard, I think that's the best campaigning I can do.
Those issues you mention as you travel around and they are brought up to you by, you know, would-be voters, what are some of the larger issues? What are some of the commonalities and the concerns expressed by individuals?
Well, clearly COVID. We all know that. It's everywhere. COVID relief, COVID legislation, PPP loans. That aside, when we get past COVID, as they go down south, as you well know, public lands issues are just dominant. BLM, all the issues with federal lands. We spent a lot of time on those down in rural Utah. And the overall economy is always important. Issues like opioids and some of the other things that people are dealing with. But clearly COVID comes to the top of the list in every discussion.
When those discussions happen, are people demanding, you know, your support of a mandate, or are they demanding stimulus money to be pushed through? What are some of the requests or pleas by folks?
Well, you know, I think Utah is unique and that they don't like their government to spend money that it doesn't need to spend. So I wouldn't say I'm getting those types of requests at all. Most of them have to do with help us navigate this process. How do we apply for PPP? How do we get forgiveness? We get a lot of feedback on future legislation that they'd like to see, mostly dealing with the specifics of forgiveness and deadlines on times. And that's really where we spend the bulk of our time talking about the COVID issues.
Well, I have you here on this question. What is the real latest with these stimulus talks? I have countless people asking, both in my family and outside, friends, listeners. They say, Lee, you know about this Congress stuff. Will we be getting another round of checks? And many of them point out, I'm hurting and Christmas is coming.
So, Lee, you're right. You get this as well as anybody, having just left there just a few months ago.
Sure.
So on the Republicans' part, we have a discharge petition on the floor. I think almost every Republican, if not all, have signed it.
Explain the functionality of a discharge petition. It's a fascinating little nuance of congressional tools.
It is. So when you're in the minority, the speaker gets to determine everything. And everybody's heard Nancy Pelosi is holding out on this relief. So one of the very few tools that you have in the minority is to force a vote. You can force a vote if you get a majority of House members to sign what's called a discharge petition. Now, because the Democrats are in the majority, that means you have to peel off some Democrats, even if you have 100% of the Republicans sign. And that's where we're at with this discharge petition, which would force a vote on COVID relief. We think it would clearly pass a COVID relief, depending upon exactly what's put on the floor. But we don't have a single Democrat who has joined us in forcing that vote. And so you can imagine our frustration as we go around the district and seeing people that need help, desperately need help, not even able to bring it to a vote so we can be accountable to the American people for where we stand on this. And so to really answer your question about what's going to happen, the pressure has to be extreme on Nancy Pelosi and the Democrats, but somehow she just keeps her feet dug in, and it's her way or the byway. And I know President Trump has modified his position a number of times to try to get closer to her. But there are things in her provision that are untenable. And I brought it up in the debate last night. The $600 a month extra unemployment means we are paying people literally more to stay home than go back to work. And I hear from employers all over the district that they can't get people to come back to work because they make more money to stay home.
Yeah. Congressman, I wish I could talk at greater length about this, but our time has expired. Thank you so much for your time. Best of luck out there.
Thanks, Lee. Best to you.
Thank you so much. We'll be right back. More ahead on Live Mike. I'm Lee Lonsberry, and this is KSL News Radio.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.